إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. إن شاء الله the hero that we will be studying today is a bit different to some of the heroes we have already looked at. For example, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak or Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. All these people were known for their knowledge. But the hero today, he may not have been a scholar by words or through his knowledge, but he was rather a scholar through his actions. He is a man by the name of Sheikh Tamim al-Adnani. And like all the other personalities, like Sayyid Qutb for example, he is not famous, he did not write a book of tafsir, and he is not well heard of. He was born in Jerusalem, Palestine in 1942. His grandfather was Khurshid Pasha, who was the governor of Jerusalem at that time. And his father was Muhammad al-Adnani, who was a famous Palestinian poet. And the family and the lineage of Sheikh Tamim was a very noble and high family. Sheikh Tamim was brought up in Aleppo, in a secondary school. In a secondary school while he was there, he decided to grow his beard. And he would have a conflict with his father regarding this issue. And his father would say, "You are a young man. How can you grow your beard? You may not get married. It's not right for you to grow a beard." But despite this, he kept his beard. And then Sheikh Tamim, he visited Sheikh Ahmad al-Harran in Damascus. And then on meeting the Sheikh said, "Oh my son, do not make your father angry. Obey him and shave off your beard." And Sheikh Tamim was very surprised. How come that this Sheikh in Damascus knows about this incident, you know, all the way in Aleppo? Is this as if the Sheikh is saying, you know, you're still young and the beard will cause you problems for you in the future? But the point to be taken from this incident is that Sheikh Tamim, he had love for the deen, love for Islam at a young age. After his studies in school, he went to Cairo University to study politics. At the university, there was once a large conference held by the socialist unions. And because his father was a famous Arab nationalist poet, they invited him to come to give a talk at this socialist union conference. And Sheikh Tamim, when he arrived at the scene, he saw, for example, that it was a mixed gathering. There were men and women that were mixing and free mixing. And having been forced to speak, he then says this to Sheikh Abdullah Azzam. He said, "I spoke about socialism and nationalism and that there is no socialism and nationalism." And when Sheikh Tamim remembers this, he laughed his famous laugh, which is like, "Ho, ho, ho." And if any of you have seen a picture of him, you can imagine how this man would have laughed. He said, "I messed up the gathering, and so because of this, they kicked me out, basically, out of this gathering." Now, we have to realize that Sheikh Tamim, he messed up this gathering of Arab socialists and Arab nationalists at a time when there was a complete crackdown by the Arab nationalists and socialists against any Islamists. And for example, in the universities, it was very rare to even see one woman wearing hijab. At Cairo University, Sheikh Tamim met the Syrian Marwan Hadid al-Shahid, who was studying agriculture in Cairo University also. But because of his association with Marwan al-Hadid, the authorities would follow him. And there are very funny stories regarding how the incidences that Sheikh Tamim would have with the authorities. For example, sometimes the authorities, the intelligent agencies, they would follow him on the bus. And Sheikh Tamim, he would look, wait for the bus to be completely full. And when it is very full, he would get on. And then as the intelligent officer is about to get on, he will push him and then say, "Sorry, there is no space for you." And other incidences, for example, Sheikh Tamim, he was about to pay his fare and he goes, "This is my fare, and also here is the fare of the intelligence officer who is behind me." So that everybody knows that with him is an intelligence officer. And when he would sit down, the intelligence officer would say, "Why did you do this and embarrass me?" And Sheikh Tamim, he replied, "I just wanted to relieve you of the burden of paying. So I paid for you so that you don't have to pay." After completing his master's degree, Sheikh Tamim, he looked for work. His brother-in-law used to work in a bank and offered him a job at the bank. But Sheikh Tamim, he refused to work at the bank because of his dealing in interest. And he even would refuse to have tea at the house of his sister. And that is because he would say, the one whose money is haram, then also his food is haram. Eventually, Sheikh Tamim, he found a job as an English teacher in a boys and girls school. And at that school, he noticed one female pupil who was different from all the other girls. She was wearing hijab, she would have a long skirt, she would not free-mix and laugh with the boys, and she was different. And so he went and he proposed to the girl. But for Sheikh Tamim's family, this was an insult. That, you know, his father was saying, he was an Arab nationalist, that how could my son, you know, how could he marry someone who is wearing hijab? This is backward. And you find even people today, they say, for example, that to be modern is to go out wearing like very fancy clothing, to wear perfume. But really, you know, that is backward. And the people that are wearing the hijab, they are the ones who are modern. After that, Sheikh Tamim, he went and worked for Saudi British Airplane Company in Dhahran in Saudi Arabia. And his job was to be the director of purchases at this company. The boss of this company wanted to test Sheikh Tamim for his honesty and his integrity. So he asked Sheikh Tamim to buy a vacuum cleaner. As Sheikh Tamim was going to buy the vacuum cleaner, the man, the seller, he said, "How much shall I write on the receipt?" And Sheikh Tamim said, "What do you mean, how much shall I write on the receipt?" You know, and he said, "Well, so that you can claim it from your company later." And Sheikh Tamim said, "No, write the exact amount." Now when the boss, you know, when Sheikh Tamim came back and he gave him the vacuum cleaner, you know, with the receipt, the boss went to the shop with the receipt. Let's say, for example, it was 500 riyals. And he said, "How much, you know, did he pay for it?" And the shopkeeper said, "He paid, for example, 500 riyals. But I did ask him if he'd like, you know, if I'd like to make a bigger receipt for him, but he refused." And then the director of purchases, you know, the boss of the company, he realized that Sheikh Tamim was a trustworthy man. Now, his company, you know, offered him a salary of 21,000 riyals per month. And that was like 16 years ago. Now, that is about approximately, you know, like $6,000, you know, dollars a month. And now maybe we're talking about, this is equivalent to, in sterling, £8,000 per month, including the house allowances, including education allowances, including travel allowances. So you can imagine how much money this man was making. Now in the airbase, there was a little mosque. And the managers soon realized that Sheikh Tamim, he had some understanding of the deen. And therefore they made him the khatib of the mosque. But Sheikh Tamim, he didn't have any formal training in this sphere. However, because he would speak from his heart, people began to flock to his speeches, even though he was not a scholar. He would speak from the heart and it would reach the hearts of the people. In fact, so many people began to come to his mosque that the mosque had to be extended four times to accommodate all the people. One quality about Sheikh Tamim, which is known to everybody who knows him, is that he would always speak the truth, no matter what. If he saw something wrong in the community, he would speak out against it. So for example, when he saw the youth wasting their time in football and missing Salah, you know, he began to talk about this, but people began to complain that, you know, don't talk about football, why are you talking about football? And so then he said, okay, and he moved on to another subject. And then he spoke about interest and the banks and the riba that is awash in the country of Saudi Arabia. You know, but the people became upset. And he said, you know, they said, look, don't talk on these controversial issues. Don't talk on these hot issues. You know, just talk about the Salah and following the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and etc. And Sheikh Tamim said, look, you know, what do you want me to speak about? What do you want me to say? And they said, look, this is these are sensitive areas, you know, and you are in a sensitive area itself. You are in a military base. And we give you 21,000, you know, riyals per month. And in addition, 3,500 a month as your position of imam. And we can take it away from you, so be careful. Now listen to the answer of Sheikh Timi. He said, my provision and every penny comes to me from Allah. He gave it to me, and when he wants, he will take it away from me. As for the 3,500 riyals, it came from Allah as a bonus, and it goes back to Allah. Wallahi, I save this money, and I give it to the mujahideen in Afghanistan. And in 1984, whilst he was in Dahran, Sheikh Tamim, he heard of the Afghan jihad. And this jihad, it captured his heart. And he looked at all those people, those Afghans, who refused to accept humiliation, and they were giving everything to protect the deen and uphold Islam. And so for these people, Sheikh Tamim, out of his own wish and desire, in his first year, he collected $50,000 from the community, and then in the summer, he gave it to the Mujahideen. Now, Sheikh Tamim, he, after having given it to the Mujahideen directly, and on his return back to Saudi Arabia, he made a lecture in 1986, and it was called My First Journey in Afghanistan. Now this tape, it sold out, and from the proceeds, Sheikh Tamim, he collected about $250,000, and he handed it to the Mujahideen. In the third year, he announced that in Ramadan, he will be collecting money. And he gave a second tape, you know, after returning again from Afghanistan. And this was my second journey to Afghanistan. And this tape also sold out. And as a result, he collected almost $1 million. And now the authorities, they began to question, they began to think that this is going out of control. And they went to him and they said that we have been given orders that you give this to us and we will then give it to the Mujahideen. And Sheikh Tamim said, he's over my dead body. They said, what? He said, I said to the people that I will give this money to them with my own hands and no one is going to come and take this money from me on my behalf. They said, but you are disobeying orders, O Sheikh Tamim, from higher places. He said, my order has already come from Allah. Then they had a dispute, and because Sheikh Tamim, he was big and large, mashallah, he grabbed them by the neck and he started to shake one of them. And he was saying, this is the money of the Mujahideen, this is the money of the Mujahideen, this is the money of the Mujahideen. And then the security officer, he said, listen, Sheikh Tamim, I'm only doing my job here. By Allah, my wife and daughter, they give money to the Mujahideen and they listen to all your lectures. Then in the following day, some of the good ones from amongst the security officers, they came to him again. And they said, listen, Sheikh Tamim, you can take the money and you can hand it directly to the Mujahideen. However, when you travel, do not tell anybody about it and go quietly. So then he said, okay. Then on the following Friday in khutbah, Sheikh Tamim, he made the following announcement. He said, inshallah, on Wednesday, by Pakistan International Airways, flight PK, for example, 745 at 22:30 in the evening, at this time, Sheikh Tamim will be leaving to give money to the Mujahideen. So whoever wants to make his wife a widow, or his child an orphan, or his mother childless, then let him meet me at the airport. And then afterwards, after the khutbah, everyone came to him and said, oh, Sheikh Tamim, what is this? You know, what have you done? You know, do you want to make all our, you know, our wives widows and our children orphans and our mothers childless? And, you know, this, and then Sheikh Tamim said, no, I didn't mean yours, but I meant, you know, the communists. And they said that inshallah, may Allah fulfill your requests. And by the way, that statement that Sheikh Tamim made, this was the very same statement that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu made as he was leaving for the hijrah. while all the other Sahaba, they're going quietly without telling anybody and drifting slowly into Medina, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he announced to the people and he said, if any person wants to make their wife a widow or their children orphans or their mother, make them leave them childless, then let him meet me at this valley at that time. Now in Afghanistan, Sheikh Tamim, he would participate in the battles. And some of the people that witnessed him in the battles, they would say that, you know, whenever there was be an aerial bombing and everyone would get down, but we couldn't tell because of his large weight whether Sheikh Tamim, he was, you know, if he was standing up or if he was lying down, because mashallah, he was, just as he was tall, he was horizontally, he was, you know, the same sort of size. So you couldn't really tell if he was, like, you know, lying down or standing up, you know, because he weighed 155 kilograms. And, you know, they would tell him to get down and to duck down. But Sheikh Tamim, he had, you know, he had the disease of obesity. But despite this, he would insist to participate in the battles and to go on top of the mountains. But almost on many occasions, the emirs, they would refuse him because of his weight. And then he would say, now bring me a horse. And then when he would sit on the horse, you know, it would be said that the weight of Sheikh Tamim would instill fear into the hearts of the horses even. There was one time he was on the horse and the horse would, you know, he was going up a mountain ridge. And they were going up a mountain ridge and the path was only like half a meter wide. And, you know, if any one of them fell, then it was very risky and any one of them could have died. Then once one of the emirs, they were sitting and it was said that Sheikh Tamim has fell off his horse. And the emir said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What has happened? And what had happened is that a branch came and it hit Sheikh Tamim and knocked him off his horse. Now as he fell, he was holding onto the reins and he pulled the horse down with him. And when the emir saw this, the emir began to laugh. And they said, you know, because what would happen is all the young brothers would stay awake all of the night, you know, talking and speaking. And Sheikh Tamim, one of his trademarks was that if any brother would not get up for Salat al-Fajr, he would threaten them and said, I will sit on you. And the emir began to laugh and say, ah, see Sheikh Tamim, all the time you would say that you would sit on your brothers. And now Allah has punished you and has made the horse sit on you. Sheikh Tamim, he was a man of immense tawakkul. For example, whenever he would pass by a checkpoint, he would say, no problem. Just read Surah Yasin. Just read Surah Yasin and Allah will let you go through. And he would read, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ صَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ صَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. That we have put in front of them a barrier and behind them a barrier, and over their eyes we have put a cover so that they cannot see. Now, this dua would always work with Sheikh Tamim and he never had any problems at the checkpoints. But all the other brothers, they had problems at the checkpoints. You know, they would go through and they'd be questioned and then they'd be searched. And but Sheikh Tamim, no. And that is because in order for the dua to be effective, you must have belief in the dua. Just like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, sometimes some sahaba, they would read Surah Fatiha over a person to cure him. And then it wouldn't work. And Umar ibn al-Khattab would come and he would read Surah Fatiha and that person would be cured. Because he would have belief in this and he had iman in this. And sometimes Sheikh Tamim, for example, you know, he would collect money. He collected gold, several kilograms of gold, and all he would do, he would, you know, he'd cover it and say dua over it. And despite this, you know, none of his bags, you know, all the bags of Sheikh Tamim would be checked, but that bag that had the gold in it for the mujahideen. And that is because of the immense tawakkul that this man had in Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Now, as was mentioned before, Sheikh Tamim, he was not allowed to take part in any of the jihad really because of his weight, you know. And the emir, who was Abu Abdullah, he refused to allow Sheikh Tamim to take part in the jihad. Once it happened that Abu Abdullah, he had to return to Saudi Arabia. And then he left behind the Emir, who was Abu Hajir al-Iraqi. Abu Hajir al-Iraqi, you know, his tapes, you can still listen to them on Islam Online. But at the moment, currently, he is being held in prison in New York, and he was captured just a few years ago. Now, Abu Abdullah was a very firm leader, and he was not a pushover, and he would no way allow Sheikh Tamim to go into the mountain and to partake in the battlefield. Now, Sheikh Tamim, when Abu Abdullah left, he saw his chance and he went to Abu Hajir. And he said to Abu Hajir, look, we should now attack the enemy. And Abu Hajir said, look, I cannot make this decision until Abu Abdullah comes. And Sheikh Tamim was like, we have to go, we have to go. You know, almost like a kid. And Abu Hajir was put in a difficult position because Sheikh Tamim, he was a very well-respected man. And so Abu Hajir, he let Sheikh Tamim go to the top of the mountain and go with an operation. Now when Abu Abdullah, he got back, he inquired, where is such and such a person, where is such a person? And they said, he's here. And he said, where is Sheikh Tamim? And he said, he's on top of the mountain. And he said, what? He said, call him back now. So they phoned Sheikh Tamim. And he was told, your emir ordered you to come back now. And if you do not come back, then you will be disobeying Allah. And then Sheikh Tamim, he refused. And even after being told directly, you know, and eventually he was told that, you know, if anyone falls victim because of what you're doing, then you'll be made responsible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And then Sheikh Tamim, he returned and he was sulking like a child. And as he returned, he said, I swear by Allah that if you do not let me go, I will not eat, nor will I drink. Now Abu Abdullah, of course, he thought that he was joking and this will pass and he's just emotional. But one day passed, the second day passed, 3 days passed, he was not eating or drinking, and Sheikh Tamim became weak. And then Abu Abdullah, he was in a difficult position, you know, because this man now, he has made an oath. So therefore, he reluctantly agreed and let him go to the mountain. And then he went to the mountain, and he was allowed to fire a few shots and a few mortars, and then he was asked to return to the base. Now, Sheikh Tamim, he made another visit to Saudi Arabia. But this time, he was banned from giving his lecture, My Third Journey to Afghanistan. So he recorded this lecture on tape anyway, but this tape, it became a hit and it sold out. And the authorities, they became enraged and they deported him basically. Sheikh Tamim first went to Qatar. And, you know, alhamdulillah, the people from Qatar, they contributed significantly with their money and the persons to the jihad. Then from Qatar, Sheikh Tamim, he went to Afghanistan and he said he was going to devote his whole life there, his full time, and his family, everyone was moved to Afghanistan. And then he asked, how will I look after my family? What will I do to look after my family? And then Abu Abdullah, he said, do not worry, I will look after them, you know, just like he had sponsored many of the brothers of the Mujahideen. Now Abdullah Azzam, he said, you know, why don't you work with me, you know, and help me in my work, because I need someone like yourself. Because Abdullah Azzam, Sheikh Abdullah Azzam, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was in great demand. You know, and there were many times, for example, he couldn't go to different countries and give speeches and lectures because he was busy, you know, with the jihad, with writing books, etc. So therefore Abdullah Azzam, he sent him on many errands. And Sheikh Tamim went to Nigeria, he went to many different places, and everywhere he went, huge crowds would gather. He went all over Europe, he went to America, he went to the African countries, you know, he went to Asia, he went to Bangladesh, he went to Karachi, he went to Pakistan, and wherever he went, newspapers, they would carry news about Sheikh Tamim al-Adnani and the amount that he had gathered for the Mujahideen. In fact, Sheikh Tamim was so much in demand that one lecture would finish and then there would be another and another and another. And in the United Arab Emirates, he gave a series of three lectures, specifically to the women. And by the end of these lectures, he managed to gather 4 to 5 kilograms of gold. And he would say to every sister, by Allah, for every sister, I will tell the Mujahideen to make dua for you. You know, because, you know, generally, the women, they are more sensitive in their hearts. You know, and the jihad captured many of the women's hearts, and they would take the gold by their hand, and they, you know, and they would give it. And Sheikh Tamim, you know, he would take the gold through his own hand, he'd put it in a bag, and he'd make dua, he would cover the bag, and he would never ever be stopped. Regarding the courage, you know, and personality of Sheikh Tamim al-Adnani, he was a very, very, very brave man. And he would not fear anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was an incident in immigration in one of the, you know, Arab countries, perhaps, you know, the United Arab Emirates, although we're not told, where he saw an official who did not allow a Palestinian, you know, to enter because he did not have a visa. And then on another line, a Westerner came, and the official asked him, do you have a visa? And he said no. And then he was given the visa there and then, you know, and he was allowed to enter. And then when Sheikh Tamim, he saw this, he said, no, I'll not allow this. And he grabbed the two passports. And he said, look at this. Look at this. The Muslim is not allowed to enter. And the kafir, he is allowed to enter. You know, and after he made, you know, a big fuss about the incident and about the issue, eventually he was, allowed, to stop and to go through. Now, Sheikh Tamim, from Nigeria, he was on his way to Yemen and he stopped in Egypt. And the Egyptian police force, they wanted to interview him there. And they said to him, who are you and where are you going? And he said very frankly, I am with the Mujahideen and I am going to Afghanistan. He said, I am a frank person and I will give you frank answers. So do not beat around the bush with me. So then they asked him, are there any Egyptians in Afghanistan? He said, yes. He said, Abu Muhammad, Abu Ibrahim, Abu Abdullah, Abu Anas, and these names. And they said, are you joking with us? Are you joking with us? You know, who are he said, look, I don't know their names. I just know their kunyas. And even if I did know their names, over my dead body will I give it to you. Then they said to him, do you know Muhammad al-Islambuli, the brother of Khalid Islambuli? And Khalid Islambuli was the one who assassinated Sadat, who made the peace with Israel. He said, is there anyone who does not know the brother of the hero Khalid Islambuli? You know? And then, while this was happening, while this was going on, he put those who were interviewing on the back foot and he began to ask them, you know, can I have permission to do lectures while I'm here in Egypt, while I'm here in Cairo? Do you give me the permission? Can I do it? So he was interrogating them rather than them interrogating him. Anyway, they let him into the country and despite being banned to give lectures, he still gave the lectures anyway. After this, you know, Sheikh Tamim al-Adnani, one thing about him is that he would hear of the oppression, you know, of the women, you know, and the rape of the women. He would hear, for example, how the Russians, they would take them in the helicopters, they would rape them and then throw them down. And he would cry and weep, you know, as if this had happened to his own children. Then in Ramadan, April 1987, the famous Lion Den operation happened. Basically, the base camp of the Mujahideen, called Ma'sada, which is in the eastern Afghanistan, in Jaji. At that time, the Russian battalions made a concerted ground and air attack to destroy the base camp of the Mujahideen. Basically, you know, 2,000 of the enemy had gathered, and there are only 50 of the brothers that were there protecting the base. They included people like Sheikh Abdullah Azzam, Sheikh Tamim Adnani, Abu Zubair al-Madani, the famous Nasheed singer, including Osama bin Laden, many of the prominent Mujahideen. Now, Abu Abdullah, he gave Sheikh Tamim the responsibility for communications. Now, the most concerted effort by the Russians took place on the 28th to the 30th of Ramadan. And Sheikh Tamim, during this phase, during this moment, during the most intense part of the bombardment, he would come out of his bunker and he'd read the Quran. And when he would go and read the verses of the hellfire, he would read them quickly. And as he was passing through the verses of paradise, he would read them slowly. He read one juz, two juz, three juz, until six. He reached six juz. And even the branches above his head were shaking from the bullets that and the bombs that were whistling above his head. And then, you know, he was told, you know, what are you doing? This is haram. Abdullah Azam, he said to him that this is haram. You know, you can't just, you know, if you want to become shaheed, that's understandable. But you can't just put yourself like this at risk. And he thought, is this really haram? And then he quickly went back to his base. And then Abu Abdullah, he gave the order to withdraw. You know, and only the Mujahideen at that situation, at that time, they know why they're withdrawing from a certain place. Because basically it was 50 versus 2,000. You know, a ratio of 1 to 40. Now when Tamim Adnan, he heard of this, he began to cry like a child. You know, and he said, look, what? After all this time, after all the efforts we have put in building and making this camp, now you want us to leave? And he began to cry like a child. And he was holding onto his hair, and he's holding his beard. You know, and it looked like, you know, people said like as if some sort of jinn had taken over him. And he would cry, and he would cry, and he'd refuse to come. But then Sheikh Abdullah told him, listen, if anything happens to these brothers, then this is on your neck and you are going to be made responsible. Sheikh Tamim, he was looking for a way to further participate in the jihad. So he decided that he was going to go to try and lose some weight. And he went from Nigeria to Egypt, and from Egypt he went to Qatar. And there, some of the brothers, they said to him that we know of a doctor in Czechoslovakia who can reduce your weight to 90 kilograms. You know? And then they said that rather, why don't you in fact go to America for medical treatment? Because, you know, in America, there you can there are better doctors. And so Sheikh Tamim al-Adnani, he went to America. And while he was going to America, he didn't just sit around waiting for his operation to happen and living the life in America, you know, going around touring and doing all this. No. Rather, he went to, you know, conferences and camps, and every single place that he went to and he was due to speak in, it sold out everywhere. And he would phone, you know, once a week to Abdullah Azam. And he would say, look, wait for me, I'm coming. I've lost 5 kilograms. You know, I've lost this many kilograms. I've lost this many kilograms. You know, and, you know, eventually, you know, he lost, you know, he came down to 109 kilos. But one day, he was going to deliver a lecture in Orlando, Florida, on the 18th of October, 1989. And then on the way to the hospital, he had a heart attack, you know, on the day, and on his way to the hospital, he died. And his body was brought back, from Orlando through New York to Islamabad to Peshawar, and eventually the graveyard in Pabi, where many, many of the Mujahideen leaders, they are buried. Now, so therefore we see that Sheikh Tamim, his intention all the time was to return to jihad and to fight, to reduce his weight. And every time, every week, he was phoning the Sheikh Abdullah Azam, saying, I'm coming, wait for me, wait for me. He didn't go there for tourism. He didn't go there to waste his time. He went there, okay, with the intention of performing jihad fi sabilillah. Now, amongst the miracles that were experienced after his death, his body was weeping 24 hours after his death while he was still in America. His wife went to the room in which he passed away, in the hospital room, and she said to him, we will meet in paradise, O Abu Yasir. You know, this was his kunya, Abu Yasir. And then Abu Tariq, who was also there, he said, as she said this, tears came out of the body of Sheikh Tamim al-Adnani and they fell on the sheets. And she dried those tears with a handkerchief. And I also dried them. So he's witnessing this event and he's saying that this had happened. Now, also, you know, from the hospital bed, a wonderful smell of perfume had emanated from the body of Sheikh Tamim. And some of the people, they said to him, you know, what nice perfume have you put on his body? And this look, well, what do you mean? What perfume? We haven't put any perfume on his body. Now it was noted about his body that it had not bloated, nor had it discolored. Now Sheikh Abdullah Azzam, he phoned many prominent sheikhs and mashayikh and ulama, asking about the permissibility of burying the body in a coffin, as 48 hours had passed. The Sheikh Ibn Baz, he said, if it has changed, then, and it's giving off a smell, then yes, you need to bury it in a coffin. As for our other sheikhs, for example, Abdul Razzaq Al-Afifi, he said, look, you know, of course the body is going to change, you know, so therefore you have to bury it in a coffin. Although the body was not bloated and was not smelling, they decided to put him in a coffin, you know, but, you know, even the lid of the coffin, because of, mashallah, the size of Sheikh Tamim, they couldn't even shut the coffin, and they had to put his arms, you know, on the sides, and then put the lid on the coffin like this. Now, Sheikh Abdullah Azzam said about Sheikh Tamim Al-Adnani, you know, Sheikh Abdullah Azzam, he died 1 month after Sheikh Tamim Al-Adnani, and in the last book that he ever wrote, called Ushaq Al-Hur, The Lovers of the Paradise Maidens, you know, in which he compiled more than 100 stories of the people that had become martyrs in Afghanistan, you know, and all the titles, they always start with Al-Shaheed. Al-Shaheed Abu Muhammad, Al-Shaheed Abu Ibrahim, Al-Shaheed Umar, for example. And all the titles, they begin with Al-Shaheed. Now, the last story that he mentions is given the title Al-Shaheed Al-Batal Al-Sheikh Tamim Al-Adnani, the martyr, the hero, the Sheikh Tamim Al-Adnani. Now you see that Abdullah Azzam, rahmatullahi alayhi, he called him Shaheed. Now he wasn't killed in a battle in Afghanistan or in Chechnya, or he didn't step on a landmine, or he wasn't, you know, blown up by hellfire missile. You know, rather he died of all places in America. So why is it that Sheikh Abdullah Azzam, rahmatullahi alayhi, calls him Shaheed? Why does he call him a hero? The reason, very simply, is because of his intentions. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about the muhajir and the one who makes hijrah, who goes forth in the path of Allah and is killed, he said that this man is a shaheed. He said, whoever emigrated in the way of Allah, or was killed, or stung by a poisonous insect, or died on his bed by any death that Allah wills, then he is his shaheed. Then he is shaheed. So Sheikh Abdullah Azzam, he said, whoever emigrated to assist this matter for the sake of Allah's deen and came came to help and found difficulty, then he is a muhajir for the sake of Allah. He said that Allah has ordained that men should die many different ways, but their status after death will depend on their intentions. So their status will depend on their intentions. Now even one who dies, you know, like a shaheed, you know, and he's fought in the battles and he falls with a bullet through his head, that man, he may even go to the hellfire because of his intentions. Like the famous hadith of the first three people that will go to the hellfire. And a man who dies on his deathbed may be taken to the ranks of the shaheed, okay, even though he is not on the battlefield because of his intention. He said, amongst the people, anyone who leaves his house for the sake of Allah and is thrown off his riding beast, or afflicted with disease, or any type of death that comes to him, this person is indeed a shaheed because of his intention, because he did it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Abdullah Azzam, he wrote a wonderful tribute about Sheikh Tamim Al-Adnani, and he wrote, you will not die, and how will you die when your memories fill our lives and shake us from our depths? Your voice, which roars on the cassette, is enough to shake the world of the enemies of Allah and cause their hearts to tremble. He does not die for whom there remained in this world positions. Positions which the great people, the callers and the scholars of Islam even shrink in front of. He will not die the one that carries with him the most noble of problems, that ignited his heart and inflamed his chest with a flame, with a torch which he carried to others, with passionate speeches that came from the hearts and therefore reached the hearts by Allah's permission. You are not a writer with a bewitching style, but your words had magic that captured the hearts. You are not a scholar, but Allah taught you with extensive knowledge of fiqh. Allah taught you, although maybe not with extensive knowledge of fiqh, He taught you what would benefit you and would benefit the people through you. You are not the horseman that mounts horses in the fields, and yet the horsemen stand dwarf in front of your courage. This man was not a well-known faqih or scholar, but I found in him a quality, as I perceive in Allah knows best, that made his speech accepted by the people, and Allah knows best, and that was sincerity. Sincerity is a spirit of words and the life of example. As with sincerity, words leave the heart and so therefore reach the hearts with passion and influence. Sheikh Tamim was a normal man, but Allah blessed his words such that Afghanistan and the Afghan issue became a worldwide issue and problem. And he was, without doubt, one of the main contributors to the Afghan jihad. Now Sheikh Tamim, he only went to America with the intention to reduce his weight. And while there, he incited the believers even to do jihad. Even there. And because of the intentions and the actions he was doing, because of this, he deserves to be placed amongst the shuhada. Like the hadith, whosoever sincerely wished for martyrdom, Allah will raise him to the ranks of the martyr, even if he was to die on his bed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on Sheikh Tamim, and to forgive him, and to forgive all the mujahideen in his path, and to accept him amongst their ranks, the ranks of the martyrs. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from his life and his example, to make us sincere in our intentions, to make us act with what we know, to make us a living embodiment of what is required by us in his book and in his sunnah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وجزاكم الله خيرا.